And good evening to you. It's Monday evening, 6 o'clock. That means Saints Sports Weekly. I'm John Roberts, sitting in for Jeff Bowman and John Kane. Tonight on Saints Sports Weekly, it's a big night of women's softball, as we will have Coach Laura Klutsaritz and some of her players in with us this evening to talk about their season so far. And so if you are wanting to know what's going on with the softball program, this is the place to be. Coach, welcome. Yeah, good to see you here tonight.
Definitely. It's good to be here. So.
All right. And do you want to take a moment to introduce your players who are here with us this evening?
We've got three of our seniors here tonight. We've got Kat Moreau, one of our outfielders, Allie Frank, who's third base for us, and Julia Hogston, who's also one of our outfielders.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more to the girls here in a second. But obviously, you're underway on your season. Big Florida trip where you did quite well on the Florida trip in terms of wins and losses.
Yeah, we had a good trip. Good trip down there. We were came home 7-5, and you know, you always want to be a little bit better than that, of course. But
beats 5-7.
It does very much so, and definitely beats where we were a year ago coming home from our trip. So definitely a lot of progress. We had you know, even the games that we lost. There was probably one game that the other team was just better than us. But you know, one of the other games we lost by I think 4 runs and had 3 or 4 errors that game, and even then gave ourselves a chance. We had wind held a ball up and to end the game, basically, that probably clears the bases and makes it at least 6-5, and whole lot of pressure on them at that point had that ball not been held up by the 20 mile an hour wind. But then the other 3 games we lost were all 1-run losses, so can't complain about that. And you know, an inch here, an inch there, and that record could have been 11-1, 10-2 very easily. So we're very happy with how we came home, and haven't had a whole lot since we've been home yet. Some weather has caused us some cancellations and reschedules and whatnot, but had a really good game with a really good St. Francis team on Saturday. We lost in extra innings, so that stinks. But and then the next game, again, kind of made some mistakes on our end, but battled and lost that one as well, unfortunately. But looking forward to the weather breaking, and should be able to get out on the field tomorrow, and then we'll see kind of how the rest of the week plays with this cold temperatures now.
Well, it is March in Michigan, and
this is true.
You play when you can.
Yes.
And that is the beauty of going south for that trip.
Yep.
Almost no matter where you go, it's going to be nicer weather than it is here.
Definitely.
And certainly Florida this time of year is a great place to be. I'm assuming you get a little relaxation time while you're down there, too.
Small little bit, anyway.
Yeah, so a lot of softball, but maybe some time to
definitely
hang out by the pool.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of airport time on the way back. That was a little crazy getting home, but we all got home, so that was the important thing.
That is good. So 7-7 is the record so far.
Yep.
And as I said, 7-5 on the trip down to Florida, and then you dropped the doubleheader this past weekend. But you know, early in the season, still, you know, plenty of time. And I think if, you know, obviously playing well in March is great, but you'd much rather be playing well or better in April and May.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it gets us this weekend. We're supposed to start conference play, and that's really where, you know, where the meat of our season is. And it's you know, you got to play well in the conference every day. You never know who's going to come out on top. It's top to bottom in our league. There's very few easy days, and really there's probably no easy days when it comes down to it. So, you know, as we roll into conference play, like I said, hopefully starting up this weekend, but we'll see what Mother Nature decides. And, and you know, it'll be, you know, every Saturday and Sunday the rest of the way out, and a handful of Wednesdays in there as well, and it's going to be fun. So see what we can do, make some waves.
And, you know, and while we're talking about the conference, who are some of the teams that should – you know, be in the hunt this year for the WAC title?
Yeah, right now Madonna's sitting at the top. You know, they're I think they've lost 1 or 2 games all year. They've had a really really nice start to the year. Concordia's probably sitting in there right behind them. You know, then you probably look into the Aquinas and Indiana Tech batch, and you know, and as you're getting kind of through that top three or four, you know, now you've got the next batch is where we kind of slide in all realisticness. It doesn't mean we won't be better than that.
Sure. But,
you know, on paper, that's what it kind of looks like right now. And you know, you roll through it and you just see what happens. And, you know, you take a day off and you're going to get yourself beat a couple of games. And that doesn't bode well. You know, the top eight go to the tournament and get into the tournament. And then you never know what happens once you get there. So that's, you know, obviously our first priority is get into that tournament and see what we can do once we get there.
Well, and, you know, no better example of what's going to happen the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
And has been happening in the last few weeks in college basketball.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With, you know, all you got to do is get there. And,
yep.
And once you're there, you have a chance.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's what your regular season is for, is to get there.
Yep.
And you know, work on your seeding, obviously, the better seed you can get. You know, and with these games, like you said, the wind down in Florida, if it blows, yep, a little bit more, a little bit less, your Florida trip's different. Well, that,
yep,
that could happen.
Absolutely.
In any game in April and May up here.
Definitely.
You know, ball hits a rock and takes a bad skip, and you know, a lot of things can happen. And,
absolutely.
You know, I know from coaching baseball years ago that you just want to put the ball in play, make the defense play, and when you're on defense, you have to make plays. And you know, you've got a chance to be successful if you just don't stand there and look at the ball go by you all the time. Well, good. I mean, you know, obviously, you'd always like, as you said, to be a little better than 500, but
sure,
you're 500, and it,
yep,
and again, it beats being below 500.
Definitely.
So a solid start to the Saints season,
yeah,
so far this,
yeah,
year.
Yeah, like I said, we're happy with where we are. Of course, we want to be better, but we're excited about the potential on this group and what we've done so far and what we're continuing to do rolling forward.
You know, and I looked at your roster a little bit in preparation for the show today, and it's a pretty good balance of experienced upper class players and maybe some younger, maybe less experienced players that make up your roster.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when we kind of went into last season, we had a pretty youthful team, to be honest. We probably, I think, had one true starter senior,
mm-hmm,
a year ago, and that was our second baseman, but for the most part everybody else is back in that capacity, and the beauty of our team right now is we've got interchangeable pieces all over the place. I mean, we've got two of our outfielders here tonight, and we've got five of them that are kind of all battling and fighting game in and game out, you know, and there's really no position on our field right now that it's clear cut, this is the person and that is the only person, you know. There are options all over the field, and that's a very, very nice thing to have. It makes it a little bit difficult coaching decisions, but I'll take that every day of trying to piece together the right combination for the right day against the right team.
Yeah, it's better than having to, you know, you're struggling so bad, we'll just draw a lineup out of the hat,
yep,
and hope it works. You know, and I think it, not only for you, but for the girls too,
mm-hmm,
it makes it a lot easier to come to practice. Because obviously practice isn't always as fun as the games, but you know you have to be at your best, and you know you're going to push your teammates, and your teammates are going to push you,
yep,
and that's where good teams and possibly great teams are born. Is,
sure,
you know, when you have everybody pushing one another in good healthy competition for playing time,
right?
You know, that's can be a real positive for any team.
Absolutely.
Well, why don't we take a minute and we'll talk with the girls for a little bit before we take our first break. I know we have an,
definitely,
alumnus calling in about,
yep,
6:40, Mary Beth Neary, and you did tell me that she was recently inducted into the Hall of Fame at Siena,
yes,
so I imagine we'll spend a little bit of time in that 6:40 segment,
yep,
talking with her about that and maybe a little bit about who she's become,
sure,
since,
sure,
she left Siena,
yep, and actually Mary Beth Ellison is her married name.
Ah, okay.
So,
all right.
Neary
that was the name.
Neary was the
was
name
that,
when she was a player.
Got
and
it. So
Ellison
I'll change
is
that
the,
I don't want to call her by the,
yep,
wrong name.
Ellison is her married name.
Ah, gotcha.
So.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit to the girls here. We don't,
definitely,
want them to just sit here and look at you and I talk for the for the bulk of the show, and then we'll take a quick break. You know, I guess kind of maybe introduce yourself. I know Coach introduced you, but maybe again for the listeners, and name and where you're from, what you're studying at Siena, and position, and then kind of just your own thoughts on how the season's going so far. So you guys figure out who wants to go first. Yeah, take it out of the stand. That'll make it easier to hand back and forth with the microphone. All right.
All right. My name is Allie Frank. I'm a senior here. I play third base. And at Siena, I have I'm getting my biology degree with a chemistry minor in the pre-vet track. And this season, there's a lot of competition at every position. Like you said, it like really just pushes us to be better. Come to practice and you're wanting to fight, you're wanting to be there. So I'm really excited to see what the rest of the season has. We've had a good start, but it can always be better.
Okay. So. And where are you from, Allie?
I'm from East Tallis, Michigan.
Oh, okay. So up along Lake Huron there. Oh, yeah. All right. Very familiar with that area. So, okay.
Hi, I'm Kat Moreau. I'm from Muskegon, Michigan. Over on the west side.
Yep.
I'm a biology major and chemistry minor as well. I'm looking to go to PA school after. I'm an outfielder. I pretty much play left field.
Okay.
I'm really excited about this season. I think that in any game, even the teams that we're playing that were like, oh my gosh, they beat so-and-so or however good they are, there's always like, I'm very hopeful. Like, every team we play, I think we have a chance of beating. I think our team's very passionate, and I think we do a really good job staying positive and just working hard. And I think that we have a chance in any game, no matter how good the other team is or anything that's going on. I think we always have a chance to fight back, and we've been showing that so far. So.
Okay.
I'm Julia. I'm from Dundee, Michigan. I play the outfield here. I think what I'm most excited for is we have a really good dynamic of picking each other up, pushing each other. The competition's the big thing, but even when you're competing with someone for your spot, you're still picking them up, you're cheering them on, you're helping them out when they ask you a question. And like Kat said, we do have a good chance in any game we play. If we play our game and we play a clean game on the defense side, there's nothing our offense can't handle.
Nice, nice. Okay. And Coach, just listening to the girls, we've got West Side, Northeast Side, and local. I mean, yeah. Dundee, fairly local. I did look at your roster, and you really do have girls from all over the state of Michigan, as well as from outside of the state of Michigan as well.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good group of you know, kind of all over this state. And, you know, most of our Ohio students are somewhat local to the Toledo area or just
sure.
outside. I mean, we've got Sandusky. That's kind of as far as we go down into Ohio. But it's good to have a good mix. You know, there's so many good things about getting outside of your comfort zone a little bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with staying close to home and going to school
sure.
by any means. But it's also nice to have that ability to meet people from other areas. And you know, you always want to keep your eyes open. And that's what we do on the recruiting trail. We're always looking at anybody, anywhere, anytime. And you know, I think that's a good thing for our school. And it's a good thing for everybody else as well.
Well, and if I remember correct, do you have a couple girls from Canada too?
Yes, yeah, we do. We actually have a couple from the kind of the Windsor area, both
okay.
of them, and
sure.
and you know, and it's that's a nice little bit that we have going as well, and you know, anytime you can bring different people together to kind of group into one unit, that's always a good thing, because that's what we have to do all of our lives, is work with different people, you know. Be involved with different people in our family lives and everything else, and that having that diversity of, you know, the geographic location and everything else is just so important in life in general, that we never want to hamstring ourselves and just say, okay, all we're going to do is bring in local students. You know, we want to make sure that we're keeping our eyes open everywhere that we go.
Well, and I think that's such a big part of the college experience in general, not just for mm-hmm. student athletes, but students, is, you know, a lot of times you are with a roommate that could be from a different part of the state.
Sure.
You know, geographic differences, racial differences, all those kinds of things. And I think it's great for young people I know it was for me. I grew up in Metro Detroit, mm-hmm. and when I went away to college, I mean, I lived with guys who were from rural Michigan, and we're still friends to this day. And,
sure.
you know, I just think in athletics, I think, only heightens that because of the time you spend together. You really do, when it's going well, when everything's going how it should, you kind of become a family, and you get to know each other and support each other and, you know, help each other through tough times, whether it's on or off the field.
Sure, and that's one of the big things, you know, when we take that big trip, you know, to Florida or Arizona or wherever we happen to go on spring break. That's such an important piece of our season because you do spend an awful lot of time together, and you have to live with each other for a week, and sometimes it goes really well. Other times there's little rifts here and there, but
sure.
you know,
you have that in your family
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. and you know, this group here, these seniors, kind of came in at a time that really sucked, to be honest, coming off of COVID. They were freshmen that first spring, and we didn't get that spring trip that year. So
right.
that dynamic, that was a challenge that year. And it really kind of really rolled in, I'd say, to the 22 season. And last year, I think we did a better job of you know, kind of moving past all of that and realizing, okay, yeah, let's get back to normalcy, or
right.
you know, what is as normal as possible.
Right.
But yeah, this group of seniors here, they had a little bit of a tough road that first year in a lot of ways. And as much as 2020 was brutal for all of us in the spring, this particular group, and in my opinion, 2021 was worse for us as a softball program than what 2020 was, because we had 2020, everybody was shut down. Nobody was
right.
doing anything.
Right.
In 2021, we didn't get to go on a spring break trip. We had two-week shutdowns in the middle of our season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for virtually a month, we didn't see each other, and then we had 10 days to play, you know, a handful of games.
Right, right.
Yeah, and finish the season out. So, so it was a challenge, and that's something that this group specifically overcame and has grown and helped our program in so many ways coming through and out of all of that stuff.
Sure. Well, you had to develop a different kind of resiliency and the ability to bounce back from situations,
sure.
I guess, is if nothing else came out of that
right.
might be one thing that all right. We're going to take a quick timeout, a couple spots here. And when we come back, I'm going to ask the girls a little something about Florida. So I'll give them time to prep during the break. We'll be right back after this. Saint Sports Weekly on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Preventing prescription drug abuse begins with you. Safeguard all medication at your home by monitoring quantities, controlling access, and keeping track of refills. Use medication only as directed by a healthcare professional, and never share your medication with others. Properly dispose of unused or expired medication to avoid potential abuse. Talk about the dangers of prescription and over-the-counter drug abuse with your family, and stop prescription drug abuse before it starts. For more information, contact Wenawee Community Mental Health Authority at 263-8905.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Life as a farmer has many sides. That's why we work with Nationwide, the number one farm insurer, to help farmers and ranchers stay profitable and protected. With Nationwide, you can feel confident you're getting coverage that fits your operations needs. Find out how to help protect your farm or ranch. Call us today.
D.S. Johnson & Associates, located in Adrian, Morencia, Monroe. Give them a call today at 517-263-2582.
For your many sides, there's Nationwide. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
Thank you.
and welcome back to Saint Sports Weekly. I'm John Roberts, filling in for Jeff Bowman and John Kane this week. Our focus tonight, the women's softball program. And before the break, one of the topics that we touched upon was the team's spring trip to Florida this year, where they played plenty of softball also maybe had some time to do some team bonding and you know, enjoy themselves while they were down there. It can't be all work. Got to have a little fun time while you're down there. And one of the things that I'm going to ask the girls is maybe the most important thing, or the thing that you'll remember most about this year's trip, maybe from a softball standpoint and from a non-softball standpoint. So if you guys want to go ahead and just let us know.
For the non-softball standpoint, I got to spend time with my mom, dad, sister, my sister's friend on the off day, and we went to Epcot. So that was kind of exciting because I've never been to anything Disney affiliated. So we got to walk around and enjoy all the different food and what they had to offer. And then softball wise, I will remember like just a team bonding that we had indirectly. We spent all day, almost every day together on the field in the hot sun. And we just had good energy the entire time. We were all joking around, pushing each other, picking each other up. And I think that's a big thing that also just kind of carries with us now. Like, we got to finally test and see like what is our team dynamic like.
Very good.
For me, the non-softball related most fun part, I would say, would be the cookout we had on one of the days after our games. About 90 people were there. It was all of our families and every person on the team. So it was a really good dynamic just to see everybody bonding and all of everybody's families meeting each other, especially because we have a lot of incoming freshmen. So it was good to meet everybody there. And with the softball aspect, we had a lot of good competition in Florida. Like Coach was talking about earlier, there was a lot of games that we lost by one or it was super close. So just seeing how we could persist through those games and keep the energy up through those games, especially in the dugout, it was a really good aspect of our trip.
All right, very good.
For my non-softball related, I would say that just the location in general, Cocoa Beach, like I've never been there and I don't think our team has ever gone there in the past, but this was definitely like my favorite location for spring break. It's definitely a very fun trip. I really enjoyed all of it, honestly. And for softball related, I think it's really fun with our like hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. We don't get to choose our hotel rooms. Coach kind of mixes and matches us, and
okay,
it's a little bit random, and you're with girls that you might not be super close with, and it's honestly a lot of fun to like see the girls' personalities outside of softball that you typically like aren't super close with. Some of the freshmen's personalities like really shined through, and like you just don't always get to see that at practice.
So sure,
it was a lot of fun just getting to know everyone on a deeper level.
Yeah, well, I would imagine like a lot of baseball and softball practices, a lot of your stuff is station work or group work for at least part of the practice, where maybe you're with your position, and so you spend maybe more of that particular practice with, if you're an outfielder, you're with the outfielders, and you know, you do some team stuff, situational stuff, but yeah, a chance to interact with, especially early in the season, I would think those new girls that, yes, you've been in school and you've done off-season workouts with all year, but maybe the first time kind of away from campus together, I could see where that would be a lot of fun and a chance to really grow as a team. Okay, just reviewing, 7-7 on the season. Obviously, a good chunk of your season left, and I'm going to go back to the girls, and you can go in the same order, or you guys mix it up. You can change the lineup on me. What are your goals for this season?
Personally or as a team?
Well, give me both. You individually and as a team as well.
I think as a senior, I want to be just remembered as like a good leader and just have that respect from the underclassmen and just really lead us to a good season. I think for the team, I fully expect us to get into the WAC tournament. Mm-hmm. I think that that's something that we should have no trouble doing. But I think that's, I mean, that's always the goal, but I really think that's something we can do this season.
Awesome.
I think a team goal that I have this year would obviously get into the WAC, but just to keep the energy that we've had going through the whole season, just the competition at each position, just to keep that animosity, like, not negative. We want to keep the good dynamics and vibes that we've had going with each position, and I think that that's really what's keeping us together at this point. And personally, I like what Kat said, like, just to be remembered as, like, that good leader in the group.
As a team, I think I just want to see everybody be successful. And then if everybody has their own individual success, we will have no problem being successful as a whole. Individually, stay healthy coming back from injury. It's been tough so far, but stay healthy and keep doing what I'm doing, hitting and fielding wise. And if I have individual success, I can help push my teammates and we're all being successful. It's kind of a full circle moment that we do end up in that WAC tournament, if everybody's picking each other up and pushing each other.
And, you know, obviously, listening to all three of you, the WAC tournament is the big goal. And I know, Coach, certainly that's one of the boxes you want to check at the end of this season, because it means you're one of the better teams in the league. How many schools, softball-wise, are in the WAC?
So we have 12.
12, okay.
Top eight will go into the tournament. And we've had, you know, we've had teams that have been the eighth place team that have gone on to qualify for the national tournament out of our tournament. And, you know, we were fortunate enough back in 2019, got into the tournament. We finished third in the regular season, and we made the run and went on to the national tournament. So, you know, that's something that any day it can happen. You know, our number one seed a year ago going into the tournament went 2-0 in the tournament.
Sure.
And that's not uncommon for us to see a one seed go out on day one or even early in day two. That does happen pretty regularly with the balance that we have in our league. And I said, you know, the regular season champion moves on and the tournament champion moves on. So, you know, you give yourself a chance. Obviously, you know, you've got your 22 conference games. If you're at the top there, you know you're moving on to postseason after conference play. And you know, you get into the tournament, you have a 1-8 chance of going on out of there. And that's the beauty of it. You know, it's just like, you know, like you've talked about, we've got March Madness starting up this weekend. There's not a school out there that doesn't think they can make a run.
Sure.
You know, and that's where we are. You know, is it, you know, are we sitting here as front runners to win the conference this year? No. But is it something that, you know, we play our games and we can take care of our business and ourselves? Yeah, we can make a run. And you get into that tournament, I'll put us up against anybody on any day, because anything can happen any day, anytime.
Well, and that's the beauty of a tournament. A one-and-done scenario tournament is, of course, you don't have to beat somebody best 4 out of 7, best 3 out of 5, best 2 out of 3. You beat them
that one day. Game and moved
that
on
one
to the
day,
next,
yeah. And you know, things happen and upsets happen, and, you know, there's, you know, the old sports cliche, that's why you play the games.
Absolutely.
Is because you never know how the ball may bounce, and you know, that's the beauty of sports, is you're never out of it when you're in it. And I had a coach that used to say that all the time, we're in it, so we're not out of it. And you know, I always felt that was a pretty simple way to kind of summarize.
Definitely.
You've always got a chance if you're still
just
playing.
Keep playing.
And
keep fighting.
You know, I do like how the WAC does that. There is a reward for being the best team over the long haul.
Yep.
And then there's and is that an NAIA-wide thing,
yeah,
for most
so
conferences?
It depends on the conference. So across the country, you've got, if you have 10 teams or more in your conference, you have 2 automatic berths,
okay,
into the tournament. And virtually every conference, I think there may be one that takes both out of their conference tournament, but virtually every other conference that has 2 berths goes regular season champion,
sure,
and then a conference,
sure,
tournament champion. And that's the leagues that have less than 10 teams, they're generally going to be the conference tournament champion, is who they reward,
sure,
with that automatic berth. And, you know, probably for the first time, I would say this year, there's at least a small chance that we could see a third team go into the national tournament. The realisticness is we have, in years past, we've had 40 teams in the national tournament field. You had roughly 31 or 32 automatic bids, which left you seven or eight at large.
Mm-hmm.
And you had at least two conferences that were both conferences that would have two top 10 teams with one automatic berth. So take two away just off the bat there. But now we've gone up to 48. So there's, on paper, eight more at-large berths out there. Which does hopefully give our conference a little more credibility. I mean, it's nationally, if you're in the north, you don't get a whole lot of respect, and that's just the human nature of things. The teams in the south think they're God's gift, and the teams in the north, you don't know what you're doing. So,
right.
When it comes to it, you've really got to take care of your business and do well when you get there, and that's something that our conference has shown, that they can do well when they're there and they can compete, and it's something that. Is it going to happen? Not necessarily, but at least there's a slimmer of a chance now where there really hasn't been in the past. So,
and do you feel, I mean, you've been at this a while now. You talk about the difference between teams in the north and teams in the south. Do you think that come tournament time, I would guess they're a little bit ahead of the game in February and March because they've been able to get outside, you know, as long as they can.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, everything's indoors up here. And then, obviously, you play through the regular season. Do you feel that difference is minimized some over the course of a...
I think so. You know, I think the biggest thing that you'll see, and you go back and look at patterns through national ratings and all that, and I have a lot of insight on a lot of those things being on the back end of some of that stuff. And you can see early on where teams that play a lot of games early get a lot more credit early, and then when they maybe falter a little bit within conference play where teams beat up on each other, and that's what happens in virtually every conference.
Sure.
Is, you know, very rarely do you have somebody who's just that good that they're going to run the table. So, you know, you may lose a game here or there that you maybe shouldn't. The teams in the south that have that happen usually don't get hammered as much as the teams in the north because they have the bigger body of work earlier, so they're being talked about earlier in the year than what happens as, you know, as we get into it. You know, there was a we have a national ratings coming out to Wednesday this week, and the first rating, there was a school, and, you know, it was a top five, top 10 team that was dropped several spots from maybe their preseason rating because they had only played four games.
Mm.
Well, you know, some of that's out of your control when
right.
you're a northern school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it, you know, and that's a conference that they play so many conference games that they have to limit what they can do early in the season.
Sure.
You know, when they take a spring break trip and do that sort of stuff. So those are things that I see that frustrate me on that back end.
Sure.
Of, you know, sort of that little bit of a bias going on in certain
mm-hmm.
geographic locations.
Sure.
But, you know, that's also life. You know,
we
choose to be in Michigan and choose to coach here
and you
play,
you know,
here. So.
Again. That's what sports teaches us. We
Absolutely.
Deal with the circumstances we're dealt, and we play through them.
Definitely.
So I'm going to ask the girls one more question before we go to a break. Obviously, you've been in the WAC conference for multiple seasons now, okay? If you could pick one team and one team only to beat, who do you want to beat this year in the conference? I'll give you a second to think about it. I was going to say, once you're ready, take that microphone.
Indiana Tech.
Okay.
There's a lot of animosity between the teams.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
I would say Concordia.
Okay.
I feel like we've just like
it's become a bit of a good little rivalry between Siena and Concordia in a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably because of the geography of it, and probably some of you girls have played either high school or travel ball with some of those girls or against those girls, and so.
All right, I think I'm gonna have to go with Cleary.
Okay.
Because, I don't know. There's a little banter there.
Okay. which happens.
Yeah.
Having coached baseball, I know there's banter that goes on between the players and sometimes the coaches, depending on how that's all going.
Oh, come on, I get along with everybody.
Well, I won't ask you who you want to beat, because obviously all of you want to win as many as you possibly can, and you'd want to beat everybody if you could. But I just, listening to you talk, getting in the tournament, as I was sitting here processing, I'm thinking, if they had to beat one team to get into the tournament, who would it be? If it came down to that one game against somebody and it was interesting that they all three had different answers.
Mm-hmm. Well,
really,
probably several more.
I was going to say, if we had the whole team in here, we might get 30 answers.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick time out, and when we come back, we'll get prepped for our guest. She's going to call in around 6:40, and I might let you kind of talk with her a little bit about the Hall of Fame, and I'll listen, and if I have a question, I'll raise my hand like I'm in high school again, and we'll go from there.
Sounds great.
All right. We're going to take a quick time out, and when we come back, we hope to have Mary Beth Ellison, Siena Heights softball alumnus, on us with us. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2 W243 AD Adrian 96.5 The Cave.
Siena, did you hear that DMP Communications is trying to compete with you?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, in December they're doing a 25-day giveaway. Everything from gadgets to gift cards.
Oh, they're not competing, they're helping. Just like they've helped connect people to what matters most since 1898. Why don't you tell everyone how they can enter?
Go to DPCOMM.com/Christmas to learn more.
Preventing prescription drug abuse begins with you. Safeguard all medication at your home by monitoring quantities, controlling access, and keeping track of refills. Use medication only as directed by a healthcare professional and never share your medication with others. Properly dispose of unused or expired medication to avoid potential abuse. Talk about the dangers of prescription and over-the-counter drug abuse with your family and stop prescription drug abuse before it starts. For more information, contact Wenawee Community Mental Health Authority at 263-8905.
And welcome back, Saint Sports Weekly. And our guest, I believe, is with us on the phone. Is this Mary Beth Ellison? Hello?
Hello?
There you are. I can hear you now. Very good. Hi, Mary Beth. This is John Roberts, the host of Saint Sports Weekly. And we're glad to have you calling in with us. We have Coach Klutsaritz, and she's going to kind of just basically have a conversation with you. And I might have a question or two, but we want to welcome you to Saint Sports Weekly. And Coach informed me that you were recently selected to the Siena Heights Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that honor.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Hey, Mary Beth, this is Laura. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Coach Laura. How are you?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you being here. So just kind of rolling through, I just figured, as we were having this show tonight, I was thinking, who could I bring in as an alumni to speak tonight? And thought nobody better than our most recent Hall of Famer. So just wanted to obviously congratulate you on that and tell us a little bit about what that meant for you and how you feel about that.
That is definitely the highest honor that I have received in my career, and it was definitely a lifetime milestone and something that I will cherish and remember for the rest of my life. It was just a great way to just cap off my career.
Definitely. For my benefit, unfortunately, you were a few years before my time as a player, but everything obviously I've ever heard about and heard from your coaches, as well as obviously can see statistically and things of that nature, the benefit that you had on the program, as a player, but also as a leader as well. And that's something that was definitely a big piece of your induction. And I guess talk a little bit about how you felt you were a leader in those years and what that meant to you.
Well, I think the basis of my leadership has been that, like, you know, I grew up on the golden rule, right? So, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. And I think that translated into softball as, you know, like, work hard like you want to see your teammates work hard. You know, be lead by example. What you do, they will do. And so I think I just kind of always had that mantra. And, you know, if I'm making good choices, if I'm working hard and they see that, my hope was that they would feed off of that and work just as hard, if not harder.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Mary Beth, this is John again. Just wanted to ask you, if you could tell the audience listening maybe what your best memory of being a softball player at Siena Heights was during your career.
Oh, gosh. There's so many good ones.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you have a lot of good ones.
Well, you know, I mean, we may not have had, you know, a championship season, you know, but those were the best years of my life. So, you know, I guess, memory that sticks out to me would be my freshman year, and our fall ball season was actually down the road from the university at Heritage Park because we didn't have a field on campus yet. It was in the process of being built. So, you know, when spring came, we had our first softball game ever on the campus of Siena Heights University, and I was a part of that, and I actually sang the national anthem at that game in my uniform, and that is just, you know, that is one thing that I'm proud of, you know, like, I was there when that field started, and just the growth that it has had since that, you know, seeing it back in October just, you know, made my heart swell and just made me so happy, you know, where Siena Heights has come and where that softball program has come all through these years. And so I guess that's one memory that definitely sticks out for me.
All right. I'm going to ask you to kind of think back to your senior year as a player at Siena. We have three young ladies in studio with us tonight who are seniors on this year's team. And if you could give them one bit of advice as a senior player to senior player, current senior player, or I should say past senior player to current senior player, what would you tell the girls?
One thing I would say is just to cherish every moment. And don't take it for granted because it just flies so fast. I mean, they probably know that, you know, coming from freshman to senior, I bet these years have already flown by. So just really soak in every moment this season and, you know, you're doing what you love and carry that feeling with you.
Oh, that's awesome. Good.
Yeah, that's great advice, Mary Beth. I know, you know, back in October when you were on campus and there with the Hall of Fame induction, I know, you know, personally, your speech, in my opinion, was certainly the best that night. Again, my opinion, but also one of the best that I've certainly heard in the many years I've been going to that Hall of Fame. Just the gratitude and the gratefulness and the thoughtfulness of that. So that's something I don't remember if I told you that in October, but I'm telling you that publicly now. But, you know, Talk a little bit about what you're doing now and what your path has been like since you've graduated and moved on from Siena.
Okay, so I got my bachelor's in social work from Siena when I graduated a few years ago, back in 2003. And then I was doing some work in social work for a little while, ended up in a mental health agency through that route, ended up doing some social work in the school system, which encouraged me to go back and get my master's in school counseling, which I received from the University of Toledo. And I have been an elementary school counselor in Bowling Green, Ohio for 13 years now. And, you know, I absolutely love it. My path at Siena academically was definitely a roundabout trip. I started in education with math and then took some math courses, and I was like, this is not for me. And, you know, kind of ended the social work route. So I'm really proud of where I've come, you know, career-wise. When I think about my softball career since leaving Siena, I've done some of that old lady slow pitch softball since, you know, graduating. And that's always a lot of fun. You know, as you get older, you forget, like, your mental game is still the same, but your body is not. So you act like you're 21 out there, and the results on your body is definitely not the same. But, you know, so I've done some of that to stay in the game, and I've helped out coaching in a number of capacities. For a year, I was a volunteer coach at Siena right after I graduated, and then I did some travel ball coaching with a couple different organizations. The latest is I just recently, after about, I guess it's been 8 or 9 years now, have gotten back into coaching again, and I'm now coaching a 13 and under team for the Finesse organization, which is, you know, based out of Michigan, but we also have a big Glass City organization as well, a number of teams that come out of, you know, the Glass City area in Northwest Ohio. And it's been amazing. I have a great group of girls. I have a great group of parents. And I'm able to share this passion and love that I have for the game with them. And I just, my whole goal with them is, and hope is, that if they want to play college ball, I tell them, if you have the drive, there's going to be a place for you. Whether it's D1, NIA, D3, like, if you work hard and this is something that you really want, you can get there. And, you know, there's a spot for everybody in this game if you truly love it. And that's just, I just hope for growth and that they can develop, or maybe even already have, the feelings that I do when I step out onto that field. It's just indescribable.
And maybe some future Saints that you're working with right now.
Yes, absolutely. So
you'll keep coaching the loop.
Funny that you should say that, John. But I do believe, is Emily Mays part of your program, Coach
yes.
Laura?
Yes, she's one yes. of our freshmen.
So I coached her when she was on a 10 and under.
Oh, wow.
Yes, magic team. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I'll absolutely send them their way, you know, anything, you know, to support my Saints, for sure. But it's a small world, that's for sure.
And if I can just ask you one more question, obviously you have a lot of softball memories, and being a graduate of Siena, what does being a Siena Heights University alumnus mean to you?
The word that comes to mind, John, is, like, it feels like home. That may sound cheesy or corny, but, like, college and softball and Siena Heights was an amazing experience for me, and it just it feels like home. When I stepped back on campus in October, like, that's just my place. I'm a Saint for life, and the girls that I played with, like, they're my family, and always will be. Even if we don't talk anymore or see each other anymore, like, time isn't an issue or a factor when it comes to the friendships that were developed in college and the teammates that I had and the experiences that I had at Siena Heights University.
I like that response. I think if every college student comes out of their school experience with that, and especially student athletes, if they can say that all parts of, obviously classes aren't always fun. I mean, there's work and you take exams and all that stuff. But I think if the social aspect of it, certainly the sports aspect of it for student athletes, and then, just being a young person and finding out who you are and who you're going to become, I think is such a big part of the college experience for young men and young women.
I agree 100%. And the journey can change. And I know I went in, like I mentioned, I had a plan when I went into Siena Heights University, and that plan totally flipped around and changed. And that's okay. That's what, like you're describing, that's what college is about. That's what this journey is about. And, the fact that you're in a place that you feel safe that you can do that and make those changes and have those experiences. You're a pretty lucky person if that's the case.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, Mary Beth, again, congratulations on your selection into the Siena Hall of Fame. That's an amazing honor, and I know you're very proud of receiving that.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you guys for your time, and go Saints.
Go Saints, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Great talking with you, Mary Beth.
Great talking with you too, Coach Laura, and seniors, good luck on the rest of your season, and cherish every moment, and I hope you guys have a great season.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mary Beth.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Yep. Mary Beth Ellison, Siena Heights student athlete alumnus from the softball program, one of the newest members of the Siena Heights University Hall of Fame, joining us on the phone this evening. It's always good to hear former players, having coached at the high school level, and I know you all the coaching you've done, when former players can have positive memories of their experience. I mean, it's not always about the wins and losses. It's about, the friends and the relationships that you build and the time that you spend being a part of something that's a little bigger than just you.
And absolutely. That's so much of what, like Mary Beth was saying, what college is about. And it's funny, I've been out of college 25 years roughly, and some of those people that I played with in those years are still some of my very best friends. And that's something that you take away and you get to leave with after a period of time. It's just such a great experience, and the wins and losses do fade over the years. You still remember them, but
oh, yeah.
not quite as much as you remember all the other stuff. And that's what's so important. The now, you worry about that, but the later, it doesn't mean anything.
Sure. Well, and I know you as a coach, one of the goals you'll have is at some point these girls will come back to campus and, you're going to want to hang out and talk with them and find out about their lives and what they're doing, just like Mary Beth. What has she done once she left Siena? And, everybody's different in what they accomplish after college. And that was one of always the neat things about being a high school teacher, is when kids came back after graduation a few years later, you kind of really saw the growth and development of them into different people.
Yes.
And, you know, most of the time that was a great thing. And, you know, just the reward for what we do, that's for sure. Well, ladies, I want to really tell you how much I appreciate you being here with us tonight. I thought you gave some great answers. If your family wants to listen to this, I don't know if they're listening, but they can go to our website and we record the show, so they'll be able to listen to it at a later time if they want to do that. But best of luck with your season. And again, thanks for being with us here tonight, Coach. Appreciate you taking the time out to talk about Siena softball. Next game tomorrow.
Yep.
Supposedly the weather looks decent.
Yeah, it looks good. We have a temperature policy
for
real feel, and tomorrow it looks like we'll get to that temperature and stay there long enough to get our games in.
Okay,
great. Like I said, I anticipate tomorrow's going to go off. We already canceled for Wednesday. We were supposed to go down to South Bend, but not going to go there because 30-mile-an-hour winds and 36 degrees is not warm.
That's not good softball weather.
Nope, not at all.
It's not good weather to do anything, in my opinion.
Not at all. I would agree. So then we'll see what the weekend holds.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be out at Grand Rapids. Again, we're probably right on that bubble of temperature-wise, but we'll see what happens.
There you go. So Grace Christian comes to Siena Heights tomorrow. Doubleheader, first game at 3:30.
Yes.
And the nightcap at 5:30-ish.
Yeah, whenever we get done with that first game,
there
we'll roll into game two.
There you go. That's how it goes with baseball and softball in the spring. You never know how long those games are going to last. So, again, appreciate you taking the time to talk with us here about the softball team. And, again, as always, best of luck and go Saints.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you. All right, that wraps up our show for this evening, and we want to thank all our sponsors, D&P Communications, D.S. Johnson & Associates, Magic Fountain Auto Wash, Lenawee Community Mental Health, and Iyett Insurance Agency, and of course, Siena Heights University. I'm John Roberts, sitting in for Jeff Bowman. Join us next week at 6 p.m. Monday evening for the next edition of Saints Sports Weekly.